Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast, show number 162. I am not Northern, I am not Michael Coxon. He, unfortunately, is unavailable today for undisclosed reasons.
I thought you were going to say.
No. Undisclosed reasons, very similar to an undisclosed transfer fee. There are rumours about why he can't be here. However, rumours are rumours. We like dealing in facts.
We can only
speculate as to where he is.
Yeah.
I obviously am Dan Silver. We have with us today Christopher Stokes and Andrew Franks.
Hello
everyone.
I thought maybe if we actually use our full names, I should have said Daniel Silver, then we sound a bit more professional.
Yeah.
Well,
to be fair, Daniel Silver, Christopher Stokes and Andrew Franks.
We can try anything really, can't we?
I mean, that sounds pretty damn professional to me. I mean, I think that any new listeners would actually think, hang on, we might have a proper show going on here.
Well, you fucked it now, you told them it's not.
Yeah, well, really? No, they would have found out within seconds, really. But anyway.
Yeah.
We might as well start with the most recent results, the last couple of nights. Some big results last night. I'd say especially for Palace.
Palace are flying.
Yeah.
Palace are doing brilliant. And do you know what? Pulis has done, he's got those results with a squad which he's inherited. And it depends what you believe about it, but, you know, they've not been very successful with any of the players that they're trying to bring in the transfer window. And from what you believe, you know, he was brought in with the promise that they'd give him some financial backing.
I think there was rumours of John Walters' £5 million they wanted for him.
Makes Gale sound like an absolute snip, doesn't it?
Like £5 million for John Walters, I think they've gone, nah, see you later.
So, you know, Pulis is doing a great job with the squad he inherited.
Are they 5 points clear of relegation now or something? Like, I mean, they were rock bottom when he came in and now they're 5 points clear of relegation.
I think he sums it up quite well. He said that literally we're one result away from being, you know, in the relegation.
World class.
Whoa.
Unstoppable.
One result from being right back in it again. Same can be said from probably about 10 teams.
But we were talking about, I think me and my housemate were talking about this last night. I don't think, apparently, isn't it from bottom to 12th or something is divided by about 4 points.
Anyone below Southampton.
Yeah, and then first to 6th is divided by 12 or something like that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not, I mean, and there's a few teams just floating around the middle that are kind of just not really doing
well. We say this every year, but I genuinely do think this is the tightest it's been in a long time, the league, like the positions at the moment.
You bet, top and bottom.
Yeah, absolutely.
I suppose relatively, it's normally tighter one end than the other.
Where are Southampton? They're 9th, aren't they?
I haven't even got a paper with me.
Nor have I, but anyone from, and we are factual, obviously, but in my opinion, anyone from Southampton anyone below Southampton could actually be relegated this year.
Yeah.
And that's probably a bit harsh on Villa because actually the last couple of results have been quite good for them. What a game last night, by the way, Villa West Ham.
I think
Villa will be alright now, but.
Villa went 2-0 down after 9 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And about 3 minutes later, it was 2-1. Anyway, Villa then
six goals in the first half.
Yeah, Villa brought it back to 3-2, so he scored 3 goals without reply. West Brom then equalised, make it 3-3, and then Delph, was it? Oh, was it?
Benteke penalty was the last, wasn't it?
Was it Benteke penalty was the last one?
Was that the winner?
Or was it Delph?
Delph scored a screamer.
Yeah, was that the third? Oh, that was either three. Anyway, either way. So it came from behind 2-0 down to win 4-3. Epic game. I don't think there was any other games really to mention last night apart from that.
I'd like to mention.
I would like to mention something before that. Right.
I'd just like to say performance of the week.
Stand out.
Absolute legend. Got to be Sam Allardyce in the press conference last night.
Yeah,
Oh, brilliant.
I see you're Sam Allardyce, and I raise you a Mick McCarthy.
Mick McCarthy? I didn't see what he said.
Sam Allardyce.
They're both pretty miserable bastards, yeah. I'll give you that.
To be fair, they're both brilliant. What Andrew is referring to is after Mourinho's comments in the Chelsea West Ham game, where Chelsea I think had 36 shots on goal.
Wait, I read 39.
Was it
There are a lot of block shots as well, though. I mean, it depends what you want to count as a shot.
Between 36 and 39 shots on goal, and they couldn't score for shit.
Yeah, but actually, only eight of them were on target.
It was only eight.
Wayward.
So, anyway, as a result, Mourinho basically slammed West Ham's tactics of parking the bus.
19th century football.
I mean, me and Andrew talked about... I'm going to stop doing that, it's fucking stupid. Me and Franco talked about this earlier. What do you think... what do you think they're going to do when they go to Man City on the weekend?
Do we remember Chelsea, Man United first couple of games the season?
Chelsea love parking
without a fucking striker. So, I mean, Mourinho. Yeah.
I mean, just talk shit. But so
Allardyce was Black and Decker along or something to break down the
break down the wall. I like the Black and Decker reference. You know, topical, current. Knows what he's talking about.
But anyway, in
response to Mourinho's comments about West Ham's negativity, Big Sam came down and said, he can't take it, can he? He can't take it because we've outwitted him. He just can't cope.
He dropped a few S-bombs, F-bombs in there, which were bleated out as well.
I'm just doing a fucking quote here, Franks. I'm halfway through a direct quote and you fucking chimed in.
We're arguing. How professional do we sound?
For fuck's sake, Frank. You can nip it any time you want. I'm doing a fucking quote. No, not when I'm doing a quote.
All right.
Anyway. I was getting to that bit. I don't give a shit what your opinion is, Franco, and neither did Big Sam. I don't mean I give a shit what your opinion is, but their relevance to that was the fact that after he can take it out, he can't take his rebound with him, he just can't cope, he can tell me what he wants, I don't give a shit.
Brilliant.
Which is great from Big Sam, but as I said to you, Franco, I will trump that quote with Mick McCarthy's after Ipswich won all draw with Leeds on Tuesday night.
More so for
Ipswich, considering they're on a form, one may say. And when confronted by a reporter who suggested that some fans might be frustrated with the result, McCarthy responded by saying, "Some people might be frustrated with that result. Some people can fuck off."
Like that.
Yeah.
Well,
I think is absolutely
he's straight talking, no big Mick,
isn't
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I talked to a lot of my mates who are Arsenal fans. They were frustrated the other night with the draw.
They shouldn't be.
Yeah, Southampton.
Great point away.
Brilliant. Yeah, and I'm so happy we got that point.
We beat him 3-2 at the Dell. Fuck, I'll go back in time, St Mary's.
I heard that their team bus only arrived at the ground for 45 minutes before kickoff as well, so not ideal preparation for a game, but apparently it was blamed on traffic.
Very legless and... we did look limp. They were the much better team on
it.
It was about 60 minutes in. I saw Twitter was telling me that it was the worst performance Arsenal had all season.
I'd agree with that this season.
But I mean, Southampton.
You watched it on your Moody TV channel, didn't you?
I did, yes. I don't have a TV licence yet. Watched it on a stream.
There could be. One of our numerous fans could work for the fucking TV licence.
I'd love to have a fucking go at him. Come up to me. If you work for the TV licence, come and see me.
There's no time to
round
about.
He's up for a row, isn't he?
End of the day, you were lucky. You were lucky to go 2-1 up.
Flamini at the end, silly tackle, got sent off. You can't go in two-footed. It's not a new rule. I don't know what he was doing.
He doesn't mind a two-footed tackle as well, does he?
You can't do it though. You get sent off.
No.
What are you doing? Silly mistake to make.
It's not great.
We're lucky to get a point.
Least he's fresh for cup games, isn't he? So he's fresh for the Champions League, I suppose. So you can rest him in for that.
He's the only enforcer that you've got on the team.
Yeah, I suppose. Senior had a good game. He made a mistake, which led to
a midfield enforcer. He's the only midfielder player that can tackle, really. Mm. I think that was quite a good little bit. Apparently Ozil actually made quite a good tackle at one point. It was brilliant. Obviously Twitter then went into meltdown going, rumour has it that Mesut Ozil made a tackle in the Arsenal game. Can't be true or something like that. Because he just doesn't tackle.
Ramsey and Wilshere both put their foot in, and they're probably fit for the games of the weekend, aren't they?
We need to win that. But as I was saying, I'd rather take the league over anything at the moment.
But can we just say, fair play to Southampton. You know, you're only as good as how your opposition let you play, and Southampton, they play with a lot of intensity.
I disagree, but carry on.
A lot of intensity. Well, so what's the why did you get played off the park last night? Because of the opposition that you played.
No. The expression, Franco, is the only. You can only play what's in front of you. You can't. It's not. You can only play as well as the team in front. That's
you
in front of
you. You can nitpick. You can be pedantic. You can pick up my words.
You knew what I was talking about. Do you only mean you can only play the team that's in front of you?
Yeah, you're only as good as your last game. Yeah.
No, but you're only.
No, that's something different as well. We're just making
as well
fucking
as the
lines up.
Opposition lets you play.
No.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can only play as well as the opposition was? You can play. No, that makes no sense whatsoever.
I wonder if there are any listeners still questioning the profession.
That makes no sense.
If the opposition are closing down space and playing at a, you know, high intensity levels, then it's going to prohibit you from playing the game you want to play.
Not if you're better. Not if you pass the ball quicker than they chase the ball down. Not if you're slicker at passing.
So Southampton were good enough to not allow Arsenal to be better. So Southampton stopped Arsenal from playing the game that they wanted to play.
All right, if that's what you mean, that's fine. But what you just said made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
They were the much better. Anyway, yeah, let's move on. We got Palace on Sunday, so
the reason we got torn apart last night was because we had 10 fucking men, and it shouldn't have been 10 men. The officials were.
But before we go over to that, I have to say, both incidents that were, you know, that are going to be microscopically, you know, looked at now. My first opinion in real time of
penalty.
When Dawson scored the goal was
offside.
I actually thought offside.
Me too.
And so it just shows how hard it is for the linesman and the ref.
No, but we're not in line, Franco.
No.
That's not our job. We're not standing there in line watching the line of the ball.
But
we're watching it on a TV from the wrong angle.
It is as marginal as it can possibly get, an offside decision.
No, it wasn't, though.
And the same with the penalty.
It wasn't, though.
My gut reaction was penalty, and I was wrong there as well. But, I mean, it's...
I'm exactly the same. I was exactly the same as you. I was completely opposite on both decisions. First of all, I've gone miles offside.
Yeah.
Then when they actually finally showed the replay of the line, he was well onside.
Well, I also thought that Adi Barrow had got a flick as well, which he didn't.
This is the other thing. Jerome and Jim, who sadly can't be with us anymore, I'm just going to leave it at that. I thought at first they'd wind me up, but they were genuinely serious. They said that Adebayor got a flick on, so Dawson was offside. I said, and they showed me the clip.
Yeah.
He did not get a flick on. He never touched the ball. And what I tried to explain to him, which is like, I was trying to deal with two fucking children, is that when you make contact with a ball, no matter what happens, when you make contact with a ball that's in the air, if there's any sort of contact, the ball slightly changes direction, right? The flight of the ball is the same with the cricket ball.
Trajectory.
That's basic
precise
physics, Dave.
Thank you. This is what I was trying to explain with the words. And when you see the replay up close, the ball carries on moving at exactly the same trajectory. Jerome's argument was that, did you not see the sweat come off of Adebayor's head? I mean, first of all, it was raining, you fucking idiot. And secondly, you'd have to have contact with something for... Anyway, so it was interesting that BT Sport guys asked, because at first I thought maybe that Adebayor was in. The actual linesman.
Oh,
so at half time, the pundits went over to the line as he was coming off, went, Lino, why did you give that offside? And he said because I felt Dawson was offside from the free kick.
That's so marginal, mate.
Okay, right. I mean, I agree to disagree anyway, Franco.
They're not given.
It should have not been given, right? It's not like the free kick was coming from 40 yards away.
No.
The free kick was almost in line with play. So anyway, but my point is, I was annoyed when I saw that the goal should have stood. So anyway, I'll try and get over this quickly. But
City were incredible
first half. We didn't turn up. The only player on the pitch for Spurs that was playing well was Dembele. Dembele absolutely. Yaya Toure
as well, wasn't he?
Because Toure had injured him. Yaya Toure didn't have a clue against Dembele. Dembele was shrugging him off. Dembele was mugging him off left, right, and centre. I was one I watched really closely. He was the only one on the field that was winning his personal battle.
I thought Dembele was. It was a big game for a young lad.
He was all right, but you know what? He
weren't playing close enough to Dembele.
No.
That was a problem.
But Dembele was different. He actually had him in his pocket. But the three players was Navas, Aguero and Silva, which we couldn't get close to.
Silva was different level last night.
Was
Silva for me was just different level. Best I've seen him play in about 18 months.
Oh, he's magnificent. And Aguero was fantastic. But that was half hour. After half an hour, last 15 minutes, we really came into that game.
Yeah.
And we started putting it up them a little bit. They didn't like it.
Goals change games.
Exactly. Anyway, so at half time, 1-0 down, lucky, fair enough, but should have been 1-1. Then it comes, then I'm thinking, right, we're on the ascendancy, everything's all right. Then when that decision comes along, like I said, I could just about take the goal not being given for the wrong offside decision. What I can't take is then, and yes, I know these decisions are marginal, but what I can't take is that 5 minutes into a second half, when a game's finally poised, when we're looking the better team, a player gets sent off, you lose a penalty, and you go 2-0 down, and you're playing City against 10 men.
Danny Rose goes to the ground in the penalty box.
But it's a wonderful tackle. It's a wonderful tackle. It actually ends up being a wonderful tackle.
He does take the man.
And he goes round the man, but he gets the ball. And frankly, by the letter of the law, that is a wonderful tackle.
The other thing, and I agree with you on that, but marginal. I mean, you're talking marginal.
But that's what makes it a wonderful tackle.
The reason why I sympathise with officials here, trust me, I don't sympathise with them often, is that... who was the striker? Dzeko, wasn't it? Was it Dzeko?
Yeah, it was Dzeko.
He didn't even dive, you know. So the fact is that he was taken out of the game by Rose after the tackle was made. So it makes it look even more
That's a wonderful tackle, Frank. And that's the thing. And the thing that's upset me the most. Because Dzeko was in a goal. Dzeko was about to score. Yeah, that's the whole point. And he's got to make the tackle. He's probably going to score. So he makes a wonderful tackle.
He's gone to ground, you know.
Franco, I'm sorry, but you might as well be saying, well then I wouldn't.
I'm not saying it was a penalty, but I can see why it was given.
That's like saying you can't make these mistakes in these games like that. You cannot make these mistakes.
Yeah, but I mean, look, this is why we do the football podcast, because week in, week out, offside and penalty, the two most talked about problems for fans.
Yeah.
For the people that go to games week in, week out, watch games on Sky,
just
whatever
ruins
it is.
55 minutes in, that game was dead and buried.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was more pissed off about the fact that I was really looking forward to that 90 minutes of football. That, you know, even if we've gone 2-0 down and we're 11 men, we're still in this. You can see why the decisions were made. For the neutral, it was no longer a contest. It was just let's see how many they can score.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
but you can say I can understand you can say that about every single bad decision that's made.
Yeah, yeah.
In theory, I can see why it might have been given. The point is, it shouldn't have been, and it ruined the game. And anyway, we'll stop.
Your season's not going to be defined by that game, luckily.
No, absolutely not.
Moving on to the point, last bit. That's the first time they've been top in a long time.
Yeah, and they should have been for a long time. I think Arsenal have been lucky to be top for as long as they have, the way City are playing and they are. But
it
moved on to my point, the point we brought up earlier, which I think that example completely justifies why Monsieur Champagne wants to get rid of the triple punishment rule. Because now, Danny Rose...
Three match ban.
Ban, sent off, penalty. There's no way for a legitimate... For what actually was
straight
a wonderful tackle.
Three matches.
No.
It's a three-match ban.
Oh, depending on appeal.
Two yellows is one.
But you can appeal, it can be reduced to two.
Yeah.
So Danny Rose, after a legitimate... legitimate tackle, has now been...
Do you know what? I suppose appeal it, and I hope they get his ban reduced slightly, but
cancelled.
Maybe it'll be overturned. Who knows?
Oh, it's a legitimate tackle. Anyway, right.
That's enough of the Spurs match report.
Fuck me. Yeah, it's been a good debate. I mean, you're wrong, Franco, but it's been a good debate. Well, FA Cup the weekend. I didn't pay attention.
Why?
Friday the Spurs aren't in it.
Well,
Friday night what?
Actually, saying, do you know what?
Yeah, Friday night game. Sorry, Arsenal, yeah. They stretch it out now. I don't like it. They stretch it out. Friday to Monday.
Oh, yeah, do that.
What the fuck is going on there? Why play Friday night games?
And actually, the weather was absolutely shocking, wasn't it, on the Friday night? So Brentford were playing Friday night as well, and the pitch...
That's Brentford Jills, isn't it? Was that week before?
Yeah, that was week before.
That was Brentford Jills.
Friday night. James Staples can't remember the game, but, nothing new there.
Didn't remember anything.
The pitch cut up so badly, and we had another home game on Tuesday, which apparently was fucking really ropey pitch. But, I mean,
well, even the Spurs pitch was cutting up last night against City. Yeah. So you can't imagine.
And you've got drainage and undersoil heating.
Exactly.
I mean, which is why a lot of the games over the last couple of days have been postponed. A lot of waterlogged pitches, games postponed.
That was it. Did you see the only written this down. This is just for fucking knowledge from reading shit.
Cuff,
yeah. Do you see that the non-league rejected the 3G pictures?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So the football.
So
non-league football.
South of professional football. So south of League Two.
Have rejected the opportunity to play on 3G pitches.
Or whether 3G or 4G.
4G, 4G.
Sorry, I thought you said 3D. Sorry, I misheard you. Right, I got you now.
Yeah, 3G, sorry.
Which I think is
a bit weird. I just think that you're taking away the potential to play every weekend. If you know what I mean,
fixture pile-ups are terrible.
Yeah.
So from following a team in the lower leagues last season,
a decent pitch.
We had games in hand which we really didn't need last year, and a cup run. This year we've been really fortunate. We haven't had any postponed games, and Wolves have got a game in hand because of this. There's a lot of teams in the lower leagues who would rather play than not. Interestingly, who are the teams in the Champions League that, when you get to the knockout stages of the Champions League, people have to go and play on an artificial surface on the away leg?
It's the Russians.
It's the Russians and the Ukrainians, isn't it?
Mainly the Russians.
Do they use?
Yeah.
Is it 4G? Is it 3G?
Yeah, 4G? Yeah.
So you think if it's good enough for top flight football in a European country and for Champions League games, that's why I'm bringing it up. World Cup qualifiers or European Euros.
Russia, wasn't it?
If it's good enough for those, for that standard of football, then actually, really, it should be considered. But then the problem is that if your ground is a 3G or 4G pitch, then you're not going to have the
chance. You've got the advantage.
Yeah, but then do you want to play your whole season on that surface? No, you don't.
I mean, then you look into there's still the question of damage to knees and stuff like that.
Mesut Ozil's ankles, knees, and actually lower back as well. Yeah. It's not a good surface to play a whole season.
And I think it's the whole grassroots football. Let's keep it to proper grass traditional football.
Yeah.
But
passes stopping in the mud and in a puddle. We've all gone through it. I mean, it is part of football.
I played at the weekend, or cameo off the bench after getting back to full fitness, and the pitch was shit. Like the referee just about let us play on it, and then you couldn't
anyone get
kick a ball. No, I don't think they did actually, but you couldn't kick a ball more than 30 yards because the flight of the ball, because it's got to go through 10 feet of mud before it goes off the end, and the game wasn't enjoyable. We nearly played on a 3G, but we've got a 3G pitch not far from here actually that we sometimes play on instead if both teams agree to it. But I just think that if you're going to, there's nothing worse, especially even this is at my level, like you're playing football on a Saturday, you've got your game head on, it's something to you look forward to the weekend, it gets to Friday evening or Saturday morning, worst case scenario, or Thursday, you're not playing. Oh, now what? I just think that why not guarantee, especially with if we lived in Spain or somewhere, it would matter because we'd always have nice weather. That's shit weather we get. There's basically 2 months of the year, 3 months, where you can't play football.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners play football on the weekends and in the evenings on shit pitches. Would you prefer to be playing on 4G? If anyone's interested in getting back to us, we'll read your comments out on next week's show.
Only problem is that you really have to lube up.
Lubing.
You really have to lube up.
It's part of the modern
through
game.
The amount of tubs of Vaseline I go through.
Anyway.
No, this is football related.
Football.
I think I mentioned, because you have to lube up your legs, because slide tackling, even on the 4G, even slide tackling could take off knees and stuff like that. Yeah. Anyway, was there any upsets in the FA Cup?
No upsets other than the fact that the best thing about the FA Cup's the draw.
Yes.
Draw for the next round. And actually, it couldn't have been better for Everton. So Everton have dodged the top four, who are still in the FA Cup. And Everton on their day can beat anyone, although with all the injuries that they've got at the moment, they're not going to beat anyone. Everyone's fast.
The Merseyside derby as well. I mean, Liverpool played fantastically. But as soon as
Liverpool were very, very
Liverpool played very. I mean, Sturridge and Suarez are just ridiculous.
Actually, I'm glad you just mentioned that. Daniel Sturridge has got to be the most frustrating player to play in the team with, is he's so selfish and he does not make the best use of a chance. And you know what?
But when he's got
his forms should mean that if he's fit, he should be playing for England in the World Cup, because he is someone who creates chances. But oh my God, sometimes he really wastes a good opportunity, doesn't he? And Suarez is right to be going mental at him.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird though. Like,
that's not even a penalty debate.
No, watching Suarez closely though, he gets wound up whenever any ball doesn't get put through to him,
because he's always in a good space.
Yeah, but some of these are either needle stuff, but he was, you can see that every time like Sterling or someone goes to put a through ball to him that doesn't get to him, he sort of has a little mini hissy. It doesn't affect him, but you see him sort of go, like, you know, that sort of screw his nose up a little bit, sort of go,
but the fact is that Sturridge has come out and publicly apologised, and you'd think that, okay, well, maybe Suarez is doing it for a reason, because he knows that actually next time that Sturridge is through on goal, but with the chance of squaring it, he might make the sensible pass.
Also, Sturridge is a striker. If you're through on goal, you've got to have a go.
But he never even got shot off in the instance that we're talking about. I mean, anyway, Sterling's pretty wasteful with opportunities as well.
Speaking of Liverpool, Steven Gerrard donated $96,000. To the Hillsborough Memorial. What's it?
Very nice.
Well, yes.
Was it
yes
wages?
Well, yeah, but this is my thing, right?
More football
issues. But I don't like the fact, really, that he did it publicly.
Yeah, didn't have to do it.
I don't really like the fact. His excuse for doing it publicly was that he felt that it had gone a bit quiet recently and he wanted to bring momentum back to, you know, the justice for the 96. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, talk about it then. I just think that him doing that so publicly is a bit like, if you really cared about it, if it was something that, and I'm sure he does care about it, but if it was really something that close to you, then you'd just do it discreetly.
He lost a member of his family in the
his cousin,
you do it quite.
Do you know what I mean? I don't like it.
A guy like Steven Gerrard, he doesn't need to increase his profile, does he?
No,
just doesn't. But you know, okay, well done for doing it, but keep your mouth shut next time.
Yeah, absolutely.
more footballers should do things like that.
Do what? Give people shit?
Yeah, donate to charity.
Do you know what? I mean, footballers get a bad rep, but you know, they make the trips to the hospitals and the rest of it.
Because they fucking have to.
Some of them get told.
It's very rare that you see someone off their own mac. Normally it's like, oh, check out the Tottenham players visiting Great Ormond Street Hospital today.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I wonder who made them do that then.
Professional photographer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so yes. Maybe there's a band of footballers out there that donate heavily to charity.
I reckon there are.
Yeah. Fair enough. We're a day and a half away from the transfer window closing?
Yeah, that's quite exciting.
So, I wasn't on the show last week, so obviously Juan Mata was probably talked about. So he's joined United.
Yeah, I was upset because I'm not really seeing around the building anymore.
Never mind. Never mind.
His dad lives. I bet his dad's moved already.
But on Mata, I think it's good business for both clubs, to be perfectly honest. United are crying out for someone who can keep possession, create chances in the final third.
But he showed instantly. Bring a bit of the game.
He had a six. In my opinion, he had no more than a six. He didn't give the ball away. I think he completed more passes than any other United player who started the game. So you know,
was Carrick playing?
I don't know actually.
Because Carrick loves a 5 yard sideways pass. So if he did more than Carrick,
I read a tweet.
No, I don't think he was, because Matt kept coming deep to the ball as well.
I read a tweet. I'm not on Twitter, but I still read a tweet.
How'd you manage that?
It was on another site linked from Twitter.
Ooh, rogue behaviour.
Exactly. Yeah. So. It wasn't. It was a football site. A Man United fan saying, "Oh yeah, I really like seeing Matt behind Van Persie. He's looking really good, but." At the end of the day, we've got a 40-year-old and a centre-back in our midfield.
Plugging
midfield before the end of the transfer window. That's what he was saying.
Yeah. For Man United, I mean, as bad as the season's been for them, they're now looking at a fit Rooney, a fit Van Persie, Mata playing in the hole behind them. You'd expect them to probably kick on and secure a top four place now, wouldn't you, really?
I don't know. I wouldn't expect them to do anything.
You know what? They're a different beast.
If they stay
when you've got Rooney and Van Persie. With them fit,
all right,
kick on.
With every Spurs player fit, I'd think I'd kick them on. I think they're so thin now, United. I think one of those injuries...
No club's been without their best two players for the length of time that United have been this season. And you can't tell me that Rooney and Van Persie aren't the first two names on the, you know, down on the sheet, other than De Gea. Right, okay.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, Rooney and Van Persie, incredible players.
Yeah, but,
I don't want to see United in the top four, by the way, but I've got a funny feeling that they'll scrape in there now. I think Matt's got a point to prove. He's playing for a World Cup spot. I think United will be all right. And they'll have a say on where the title goes as well. They've already played Chelsea twice, so Matter's not going to play against Chelsea until next season. United will have a say in where it goes.
Talking to United, did anyone...
Tenuous link.
I know.
Not even a tenuous link.
It's not even
a magnificent
straight,
link.
Yana's eye and his date to Nando's.
Yeah, well, everyone likes a bit of chicken, didn't they?
I think it's fucking brilliant.
I think he's great. I'm so happy that happened.
Could you...
Why? To make him look like a complete cheapskate?
Bearing in mind...
What's he done wrong? He's 18 years old. He's taking
18.
Someone to Nando's.
Have you been told off by taking someone on a date to Nando's before? You have, haven't you? Oh, you have, haven't you? Where's he taking
18?
Me?
Frank. The kid's never been on a date in his life. He's been playing football. You know, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. No, so I think it's hilarious. Well, she was 26, wasn't she?
Someone should have had a word, shouldn't they?
We find out a little bit more about this girl. She's instantly sold her story to the son. So you're not there for a nice meal or a nice date with Adnan. You're there to
She's apparently,
it looks a bit like Adnan, actually, doesn't it?
Apparently, without the dodgy beard. Apparently, his mum dropped him off on a street corner or something, and she picked him up in her Fiesta or some shit.
Made her drive. He was wearing heels and everything.
Yeah, it was well dressed up, all for a night out, went to Nando's. And he was in a full-on grey tracksuit with a Rio 5 hat on. That's what I noticed. He had a fucking Rio Ferdinand 5 hat.
That'll be a freebie.
Exactly. But I think you see Townsend and... Sterling come to his rescue on Twitter.
No,
it was brilliant. So both Nando's
they both obviously
and,
have their own tables at Nando's as well in the local area.
He put Andros Townsend tweeted, "Nando's was too classy for her. I would have bought her a Freddo and sent her packing." It was fucking brilliant. And Sterling tweeted twice. Coming up with the first one was the second one was, "Girl, if you wanted an extra piece of chicken, you should have just asked." And it was,
I think Nando's actually tweeted to Yanazai and told him that his next date is on them.
Brilliant.
So he's definitely going to take that offer up there. Anything for free. Let's do it. Yeah.
That is, yeah. I was a big fan of that story.
His next date's a lucky girl. Mm. At least she knows where she's going, so she doesn't have to dress up for the occasion.
Speaking of unlucky girls.
Oh my god.
Just amazing. Mrs. Ryan Shawcross and Mrs. Gareth Bale, who both took very, 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 very hefty blows to the genitals at the weekend. Did you see this?
No.
Did you not see this?
No.
Bale actually had to go off because it was... Shawcross is the FA Cup game against... Chelsea.
They both got hit in the genitals.
Yes, Willian absolutely pile-drived the shot from about 5 yards into his gonads.
I know what you're talking about.
He was down for a long time. Whereas Bale, it was one of those where he's nicked the ball. It was versus Granada, and he's nicked going for a 50-50. He's nicked the ball away from someone. It was about knee height, the ball, and the Granada player's gone to kick it. And as Bale's nicked the ball away, he's gone to kick it as hard as he possibly can. But he is not connected with the ball. He is connected with Gareth Bale's testicles. Boots on testicles. Bale was down for a long time. However, Carlo Ancelotti came out later on that day and, quote, said, "His genitals are fine."
It was your personal inspection.
I think it must have been. Carlo Ancelotti confirmed that Gareth Bale's genitals are fine. But he actually missed the game. Ancelotti said it was because of a leg injury, but he actually missed the game at the midweek against Espanyol, I think it was, the second leg of the Copa del Rey, I believe, because of a leg injury.
Right.
Or because he was nursing his...
genitalia.
His genitalia. But,
Either way, Dan feels sorry for their misses because they didn't get a shag at the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a. What's the problem
I'm
with
sure
that?
Sure, they'll get over it.
What's the problem with that? You've been very aggressive now, Franco.
I don't give a fuck.
No, there we go. Speaking of not giving a fuck, Collie Moore versus Twitter.
Yeah, this was strange, wasn't it?
Well, I also, I'd say, Ulrika Johnson, just fuck off. Get back in your box. Yeah. Fuck right off.
I'm a little bit scared right now. Franco's generally scaring me a little bit.
Stan Collie Moore can say what he likes.
No, I mean, it was a joke, really, I completely understand he's making a stand, the fact that he thinks that people on Twitter that do these things, Twitter does not do enough to stop the racism, the trolling, all this sort of thing. And it's fair enough for him to have put that point across. And on the back of that, I think, wasn't it one of the was it the star or whoever it was, came out and went, how can you talk, you beat someone up, you beat a woman up. And yeah, it was like, this was 20 years ago.
Collie Moore's point was the fact that if you're going to say something, then stand up, don't hide behind some fake name, some fake picture. If you're going to say something which is as controversial as, you know, what's been said, fucking put your name to it. And Twitter allows you to hide behind the fact that you can be anonymous. And that's the main... That was Colin Moore's problem. I don't think anyone disagrees with him on that.
No.
It's just been taken out of proportion with some fucking Swedish pimp wants to get involved in it as well. Anyway, move on.
But no, I agree. I think, I think Twitter should do enough, and he's right, because you've got kids on Twitter, and it's I mean, we'll get there. Hey, speaking of kids,
this has been about five links in a row now.
This is getting ridiculous. Doncaster Rovers have confirmed that Louis Tomlinson's of One Direction will be turning out for their reserve side next month. Genuinely, actually playing for them.
Really?
Yeah. He can't.
Who was it that kicked the shit out of him in that charity match?
No, that was the other one, wasn't it? Or was it him?
Louis Tomlinson.
Was it the one?
I think
Gabby.
It's only one that can play football.
Yeah, yeah.
Gabby.
The rest is
Gabby O'Connell.
Yeah, yeah. He got death threats.
Well, at least he's not going to be against Villa then.
Were you around? It might be new. Were you around when I mentioned the fact that we've been started followed on Twitter, the podcast, by a Noel or Louis Tomlinson fan group.
Yeah, some scary 17-18
No, it's not a good sign.
No.
One Direction, the greatest pop band on the planet. Cunts.
I love One Direction.
Hey, C-bomb.
C-bomb. So that's pretty funny.
I mean, fucking hell. I mean, he's been pop star for a lot.
He can't be.
I'm glad we just got the chance to remember just how brilliant that challenge was from Meg Bonlaw again.
That made him throw up.
Oh my god.
Speaking of someone
I'd like to see more of that.
Oh my god, this is great.
One of the reasons Spurs probably let him five at the weekend was because of, last night, was because Vlad Kirikez was probably still pissed.
He didn't have a good game last night, actually.
Did you see the video?
No,
Franco. There was a video of him supposedly at the weekend. I'm hoping it was from like 10 years ago,
what,
but Ben is only 22. Romanian. He's a Romanian captain.
Was there loads of snow in?
Yeah, no, he was at home in Bucharest.
Right, okay.
He was at home for the weekend. Obviously, we weren't playing the weekend, so obviously he's flown home to Bucharest for the weekend. And there's a video of him and a young lady aiding him, because I don't think I've ever seen, I'm not sure I've ever been as pissed as he was at the weekend. He was holding himself up against the wall, sort of crawling along, and then he takes a massive tumble, brings a bird down with him.
He's a big guy as well.
He's a big guy, and he must have been strong. I mean, she went down like a sack of shit on top of him, but he was absolutely.
Check that out on YouTube. Check it out.
Vlad Kirikez pissed. He was, Franco, that's disgusting. Speaking of disgusting, big news. Big news this weekend. Big news. Big trial that started in the law courts. A trial that we revealed after the incident happened a few months ago. Big news in the footballing world. Paul Lovell, ring a bell?
Yeah. Oh god.
Paul Lovell has this week gone on trial.
I knew that this was coming.
For allegedly having sex with a sheep and performing a sex act on a cow near the Tottenham training ground last September.
It's got. I thought this was wind up. I really did.
It's true. It's a genuine case. He was spotted by two people having a picnic, and they reported it to the police.
Paul, what were you doing?
I mean, what was Paul doing?
Oh, it's disgusting.
I mean, the only reason it's actually got. I mean, I suppose someone trying to have sex with a sheep and suck on a cow would get
serious case which is going to be brought to the court.
We've gone actually from where, that to...
Well, and it involves Tottenham. Is the player which you were apparently being linked with on the...
very interesting.
On the ownership of... well, they had forged signatures on contract.
Yeah, yeah, I've got
the
that.
Name of the player? I didn't even know you were being seriously linked with a guy, but...
No, we hadn't.
This there was all... a consortium... Well, the moment they had ownership of a player that went to Tottenham who were genuinely thinking about buying him from these people.
Do you hear? Did you see about this?
I did not.
Very bad. It was reported on BBC Sport, a really, really odd case of fraud where a Croatian middleman forged his signature to try and sell us FC20's under 21 Holland player Luke Castagnos. Castagnos or something, yeah. Basically, he forged a document so that it's supposedly been signed by 20's chairman, but when Spurs contacted the club, they the chairman, he knew nothing about it, never signed anything, and it turned out it was all a load of bollocks.
Wow.
They're really weird. I mean, I don't quite understand how they thought they'd get away with it. Like, is this someone that's thinking, like, well, give us 10% up front?
Quite often. Well, has anyone seen...
Summer, didn't it with on holiday, the Man United? Was it the Man United fans they went in Spain?
Well, hang on. I mean, yeah, we talked about that. There's a lot of footballers, you know, who...
Yeah, but
what's
the point?
Well, I mean...
Is it like... UK, you give us 10, like, sign this, give us 10% up front and we'll call it quits, and then they take like £1 million and leg it, because it's not like it'll come round that they won't discover that this isn't bollocks
once you've got the money.
But that's what I mean. But this, what, is this the point?
Are you going to get the money?
Yeah, exactly. Do we think it's like, oh, give us, right, sign it, done, and 10%? Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Have they really thought this through?
He's the naughty boy of the week, though.
Oh, yeah. It's been quite a few naughty boys.
He is the naughty boy of the week.
Oh, it's very naughty. We've all got, all possibly rivaled by Carl Colley.
Surely the guy.
Manco, you just gave me sex eyes then.
I just raised my eyebrows.
Yeah, but
if women are giving you sex eyes like that, I'm really worried.
I mean,
women you're going for.
I felt something a little bit special there, Franco. Ghoul FC player, Carl Colley, who was sacked by his club straight after having got sent off, tried to attack a fan in the stands. That gave him a bit of stick. And the video is amazing as well, because you can see, obviously...
Did he chase him?
Yeah. Well, no, so that, I mean, there's about eight people in the stands.
I do love his chase. It was
sort of a jockey. It
Ref
wasn't really
being
a...
chased by the whole team was quite good.
That's always good. But yeah, he was... So he's kind of... So obviously he's shouting... There's only about, it looks like, eight people in the stand. And obviously he's going to walk off. He's obviously pissed off at himself. The fan shouts something, and he just sort of goes, you can see him turn and start legging it towards the
turns
stand.
Turns into Cantona.
Well, yeah. And that was it. And something like this, someone reported... It was 12 days, 12 years to the day, or something like that, however many years it was.
Did 12 really
years,
close?
12 years, it was 12 years to the day that the Cantona incident happened. Coincidence? Yes, fucking coincidence.
Definitely. I will blame it on the moon.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know,
think about football at the start of the day. Yeah. Today's the day. I'm going
to lamb the fan. Fucking ridiculous. But he goes to attack the guy, gets blocked off, looks like he's calmed down, goes to walk away. The fans obviously shouted something else, and he's turned around and come back again and tried to fucking go. Absolute farce. Italian midfielder Montolivo getting held up for training by a flock of sheep. Brilliant.
Good excuse.
I mean, genuinely posted it on his Instagram account. Oh, he was he was in the car.
Is he Fiorentina or is he AC Milan?
He was at Roma, wasn't he? Where's he?
Fuck no.
Yeah, we'll have someone tell us. Who was it? Oh, someone tweeted in or Facebooked the other day and told us where Kevin Prince Bayer
AC Milan.
No, he's not, Franco. He's not. He's at Schalke now.
Montolivo?
No, Boateng.
I don't care about him.
I was making a point. Okay, right.
I hadn't moved on.
You just need to move on.
I find it hard.
Oh, Tarabat gone to going to do a loan move to AC Milan.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? So are they they're allowed to do that?
What do you mean?
Fulham. Well, are they getting another player back from Milan?
Oh, that's a problem, because he's loan. No,
because he's a
Fulham will have had to have cancelled the loan from QPR, and QPR have said, right, we're going to loan him out to AC Milan. That's the only.
That's what I'm thinking, because his parent club's QPR. He's a QPR player.
Fulham will have had to have cancelled the loan, or QPR will have been able to bring him back whenever they wanted.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
one of those
QPR player. But then you look at someone like Kevin Prince Boateng, or someone that's probably the Italian league's probably more suited for his type of player.
Oh yeah,
a luxury more player. So he might do pretty well there.
No one's questioning his talent. He's got genuine ability.
He's just a fucking nuisance, isn't he?
Yeah, it's not what Fulham are looking for when they got Berbatov up front, really, is it? Yeah.
Oh, come home, Berber. Come home.
Berbatov and Adebayor up front. That's just what
not together.
Moody strikers.
Not together. But the day, oh mate, it'll be brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. When Adebayor's having a bit of a mare one day, oh, take him off. Who have we got to bring on? Berbatov. Fuck me,
he's going to fuck off another striker of yours, Soldado, who is good.
No, as a pair though. No, we all want to play two up front.
Oh, you want to play two up front?
Yeah. And if Adebayor's not working, I mean, and Berbatov and Soldado.
Well, it's enough about Spurs
anyway.
Let's bring on another lazy, lanky striker, is that what you're trying to say?
You'd like it.
I'd
take my arse.
And I did want to talk about this. Lazy, lanky strikers, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Cornelius, the Cardiff first. Was he a record signing for Cardiff?
Oh, yeah, and they're going to fuck him off.
So, with signing on fees, wages, this agent fees, all of that, it works out to be about 12 million worth of actual cash.
Bloody hell.
And they're selling him for three. They're taking a massive hit. It just beggars belief how clubs can spend so much money on a player and then not. He's only had a bit of game time, isn't he?
Well, I mean, that's,
Vincent Tan is blaming. You know, Vincent Tan. What a guy.
Batshit crazy.
But, you know, yeah, absolutely. But the director of football at Cardiff has been sacked, and so is Malcolm Mackay, and they're the two people that brought, you know, Cornelius in, who was being touted as some wonder kid.
Yeah, but then you look at, if I'm going straight back to Tottenham, but you look at Kapuwe, you look at Lamela, you look at these, but as soon as...
Kapuwe looks like he can play, Cornelius doesn't.
He definitely can. Sorry, I was pinging my pen lid. I've never actually seen Cornelius play, but, I mean...
I was going to play at the start of the season, and he didn't look very good.
Yeah, but then you say that...
Well, Ricky Van Wolfswinkle, one of our favourites.
We love him. But needs time to settle. Do you give it... I mean, people take a season to get used to the Premier League.
Cardiff can't afford to have players to settle, can they? They need people to do it.
Speaking of being able to do it, Thiago's last second... scissor kick Golazzo Speciale for Bayern against Stuttgart to win the game the other night.
1-1, and it was last night, wasn't it?
Was it last night or the night before?
Maybe it was the night before.
Last night. I mean, it was a scissor kick Golazzo Speciale. I think it was 92 minutes and 58 seconds.
Wow.
And with a 3 minutes worth of injury time. It was literally the last kick of the day.
Great.
Absolutely special. We've got to fucking wrap this up. We've been talking for fucking ages.
No one's listening now.
No one's even listening now. No. Paul Sparrow's listening.
Yeah. Maybe he is.
Paul Sparrow's listening.
Actually, maybe Coxon is as well.
Coxon probably is as well.
Yeah.
My last little bit, which I found very funny, which I saw this morning. Argentinian league. Estudiantes against Gimnasia. That sounds like... I'm no linguist.
But we're wrapping this up.
But that sounds like the studying team and the gymnastics team. Anyway.
Yeah.
Referee Carlos Maglio, right, was got so pissed off with players kicking lumps out of each other. He'd already booked 8 players. It's amazing. I've never heard this before. He retired his yellow card for the rest of the game. After about, I think it was about 60 minutes in, he's waved his yellow card about to sort of let everyone know. Run over to the fourth official and handed it over to the fourth official, like retiring the yellow card, and basically said, "You keep doing this. You keep kicking lumps out of each other.
I'm going to use my red.
Straight red.
You've all got a yellow foot now."
And then about 5 minutes later, one of the midfielders put in a fucking terrible tackle. Straight red. Done. And obviously complained about it. But then after that, it was the only player to get sent off. And in retrospect, the referee said, to be fair, even if I had my yellow in my pocket, that still would have been a red because it was a shit tackle.
So I wonder if he'll be the Argentinian representation of referees at the World Cup this year.
Can you imagine?
It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? World Cup final.
It was amazing. Just seeing him run off. Just seeing him run off with his yellow.
No more fouls, everyone. No more fouls.
See this? Not relevant anymore. Only got the red. Right, we're going to have to wrap this up. Melbourne Heart very quickly drew 2-2 away. With Adelaide United with a 90th minute Golazzo from Ryan Griffiths.
At least we're scoring goals.
We're unbeaten since the big man came back. Schmidt, since he came back, we're unbeaten in three, and we've I think we've scored seven goals as well. Brilliant.
We're scoring goals.
It's much better.
It can only get better.
It could only have got better. But no, Adelaide lucky to come away with a point. Heart so close to
get the heart up, though. I mean, what?
No, new heart. Brand new heart. Schmidt is Von Schmidt is the way forward. Aloisi out. He's gone. Fuck him. But yeah, good luck next week. I'll have more of an update next week. I haven't got a crib sheet. I'm going to make this up as I go along. Tweet us at Football Pubcast. Facebook, The Football Pubcast. Website, I believe, is still down. Coxon's, he's not sorting it out, is he? Yeah. But
he's attending to other business.
He is attending to other business. Rumour has it. But Audio Boo and iTunes.
Jim Staples.
No, don't give him any popularity, the wanker. iTunes, Audio Boo, and we'll be tweeting this show later on this afternoon. Thank you and good night.
Bye.